SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make sure you get the Sports Grid app on iOS or Android. It's phenomenal. It's free. And you can follow your favorite hosts like Carver High, Pharrell, etc. You can watch the network on there. You can listen to the network on there. It's got stories, videos, highlights, odds, in-game odds, name it. It's there. The Sports Grid app. Also, you can watch us live on X. Just go to sportsgrid.live. And you're good to go on X watching Sports Grid. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. All right, we turn to the Monday night doubleheader. One other thing, I know that Aiden O'Connell broke his thumb. No one cares.
Yes. No one cares about Aiden O'Connell. I will say one other thing in that game. Man, that was a shady field goal by Antonio Pierce at the end of that game. If you had the Rams, minus the – yeah, the Raiders covered all right. That was – why is he kicking there? Down 8 with 2 minutes to go. That was so bizarre and just opens up so many questions. Why didn't he go for it to try to tie the game?
I had the Raiders
very
in 7.
Strange.
Thank you. But I still don't like
very
Antonio
strange.
Pierce. I think he's a terrible still coach.
Monday Night Football doubleheader tonight. We love when there's two Monday Night Football games. It's the best. The first one kicks tonight at 8:15 in Tampa.
I don't
Ravens
think
and
game
the Bucks.
7:30. Honest to Christ.
Well, this is all part of the plan. We've had a few of these now this year, and I know there's a few more. And what they're doing is they're trying different times because they're eventually going to make this, as we want, a permanent thing, I think. I think there's going to be a day where there's always two Monday night games, and I think they're trying different time slots to see what works best in
all
terms
right
of viewing for everybody. So that's why. Tonight's 8:15 and 9 o'clock, which is the latest that they've done. Ravens and Bucks both 4-2 heading down there. Now, Lamar's a Florida guy, Scott. He always loves when he gets to go back to the Sunshine State, even though he's an East Coast boy playing in Tampa tonight. Here he is. Always loves going back to ball in Florida.
Man, it's like, that's what we breed down there, like just football players, a lot of football players. Don't get me wrong, we have some basketball players here and there, probably some doctors and lawyers, but so we breed football players, man. It's something we do down there. It's like a big family gathering on Saturdays, you know, youth football. It's always been that way from what I've known, you know. Just something about us loving football.
I love this guy.
That's all.
I love him, unless he's playing the Steelers.
Yes, when he's playing the Steelers, you do not love him, that's for sure. Now, this was 3.5 for most of the week, as we've hit now a couple of hours before kick. 4.5 for the Ravens on the road tonight in Tampa, with the total still at 49.5.
Yeah, I bet him at 3.5. I have the Ravens to win this game. I think that it comes down to Jackson and I think that Henry and Jackson running the ball. Okay, so one is Jackson doing his thing. Two is both of them running. And it's, you know, it's good for $1.55, $1.75 every game. Somewhere in that window. And you're looking at 3 touchdowns. So one of them will score 1. The other one will score 2. So if they don't both get in with tutties tonight, something's wrong with the earth, okay? Because they just do it every week. I love Baker Mayfield. I think he's incredible, as you know, but I do not believe Tampa can stop that running game like anyone else. No one can stop them. The only team that can stop the Ravens are the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers have had their number, and they know how to play them. Tomlin knows how to play Harbaugh and the Ravens. Everybody else gets run over. They're the team that can beat the Chiefs, even though they can't beat the Chiefs any more than the Niners can.
This is enticing to me now at 4.5. I think the Ravens are going to win the game, but I kind of like Baker, who's usually pretty good as a dog here since he's been in Tampa with that. But aside from all that, I like the over more than anything else. I think we've already seen both of these teams in their games. Go look at the scores of the games the Ravens and the Bucks have played this year. Lots of points, over 49.5. I think that
under
we can get there. Ah, you did. Ah, under for you, over for me in this one. In the other game, we have the Chargers heading to the Toaster out in Glendale against Arizona tonight. All right, so this has become like a weekly game with us. Our segment that we like to call What the Hell is Jim Harbaugh Talking About? Here in this clip, is he talking about his players or is he giving a review of the latest superhero movie that he saw? Here's Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I've seen, I've got a lot of stalwarts, you know, guys that are heroes. Heroes don't get any days off, you know, heroes have no days off. And when it takes it to another level, I mean, there's one thing to just show that for yourself, you know, hey, I belong, you know, I'm good, I'm an outstanding player,
here?
But, you know, that next level, nirvana level, you know,
nirvana.
That makes you even a better player is when you're doing it for somebody else, you know. I don't know, a hero, can a hero be just a hero to himself? I mean, really got to be a hero for somebody else. I mean, somebody else has to, you know, it's not in a selfish way. It's for your,
what
it's
is
for
he
your
saying?
Team and stalwart is a person that does it like that, you know.
I have no
idea. He's incredible.
What happened to us.
He's incredible, Harbaugh. He just gets off. He gets off on these things, and it's just, where is he going next? The Chargers are 1.5-point favorites at the Toaster tonight. 44.5 is the total. I might surprise you with this. Maybe you're with me, whether you're not. I like the Cardinals tonight at the Toaster at home as the home dog.
I need a big game from Connor. I need a big game from Harrison, and I need a big game for Kyler Murray for that to happen. I do not believe that the Chargers are winning every game on the road. They didn't win in Pittsburgh. They won on the road last week. I don't think they go back to back. I'll go with you on that. I'm just, you know, I gotta fix the TV. I gotta get the plus on the TV.
I know.
There's just so much involved in this second game that I gotta do. I got a game tonight. I got a league game. I'm back in the league after 2 years of not being in the league. I'm back in the league. And then I got to go home and I got to fix the TV, which is, you know, anything could happen there. That could be a lot of swearing going on. And then if I swear enough, generally, like, Chop will come down and fix the problem for me. He used to be Gunner, but he's gone at college. Chop has to handle problems with the TV. The other day, I couldn't get Max working. She got it going in 2 minutes. If I don't use Max for like a month, it's like my subscription turns off or something. I get very angry with these streaming services. I really do.
It's not fun. It's really not.
One of them with that plus. Now I got that app, right? That means I got the plus.
It's the same thing that you watch the Penguins on. It's the same thing you watch the Penguin games
then
on.
I
that
got
app,
it.
The ESPN Plus app. So you're good to go tonight. Two games, two sets of tutties. Here we go. First game, first touchdown. He's hit this first touchdown a bunch this year, and I think we could do it again. Mike Evans, 9-1, walking around with the flip-flops, as we always know him as. 9-1, Mike Evans, first tutty tonight. But Lamar anytime, plus 145. Mark Andrews anytime. There's no way this guy's not going to score a touchdown at all this year. And he's playing one of his best friends in Baker. Plus, because I can't, a minus 180 for a guy to score a touchdown. I can't have it. Harrison, first tutty in the second game, 9-1. Trey McBride, plus 270. And Josh Palmer, Herbert's looked at him a lot the last few weeks at plus 320.
No,
so two
Connor
sets of
for me. You can't get a little Connor squeeze.
How about this? Because I'm greedy. I need big numbers. I can't have, like, you know, minus 180. So why don't we take Henry and we put him with Connor and we put him together in one play. Henry and Connor. And then we'll probably get ourselves something
like,
more palatable.
I like that. Let's do that with two different packs.
Yeah.
Why not?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, always a pleasure to have Coach Young on. Coach James Young is our basketball insider on Sports Grid, and he will be our analyst throughout this season of NBA Rack and, as far as I'm concerned, College Rack. We should just have him doing all basketball because he knows college basketball as well as anybody, and high school basketball and recruiting for that matter. And they got to figure that out one of these days. All right, so, Coach, I want to start with this. I was happy for the Liberty that they finally got off the schneid and they won a championship after losing five and then losing last year on their home court. So it was a great series. They won in five. I hit that. I went crazy, like games three, four, and five, hit all of them, spreads and everything. But I'm glad they won. And I'm going to be honest with you. I did not watch. I watched games, you know, I think the first few games up till game four. I did not watch last night because the Steelers were playing the Jets and the Mets were on. And that was it for me. I'm not watching chicks over that. And that's just all there is to it. You can hate me all you want, but I didn't watch the game. So I don't know how bad these calls were that this Cheryl Reeve went off on a tangent after the game, blaming the refs for losing the title and that the game was fixed. Let's watch the coach of the Minnesota Lynx.
I know all the headlines will be Reeve cries foul. Bring it on, right? Bring it on because this shit was stolen from us. Bring it on.
There you go.
Hey, Cheryl Reeve, let me talk to you for a second, okay? Simply put, in game four, Sandy Bordello, who pulled what I think was the masterclass press conference after game four, because the Liberty could have said the same thing in game four, and basically Sandy Bordello dared the referees to let them play. Well, they did. In game number four, though, the Minnesota Lynx shot way more free throws, and that was decided on a foul line with on a rebound with Inescu, which they took the lead. So why am I not giving Cheryl Reeve the same love and respect for how she was at her press conference like Sandy Bordello? Let's count the ways, folks. Number one, Nafisa Kali, your best player, misses basically a layup with 20 seconds left that could have put you up four. Number two, yes, Stewie hits the foul shots. Questionable call. Pharrell, you and I know it as bigs. When you try to block a shot and you come down, whether you get ball or not, it's always a foul because you break the play in verticality.
She never left the floor, though. I saw that highlight.
And I think, listen, at the end of the day, bang, bang, play. Listen, you get the benefit of the doubt. The girls have to still make the free throws. But Pharrell, here's the other thing. They had 10 seconds left. Did she talk about Caleb McBride getting a clean look at the top of the key from three? No. She missed that? How about 65-62, folks? Carlton, your other shooter, gets a good look from the wing to tie the game. No. They get the rebound. Let me go up and they score. And in their last play of the game, you run a flare screen to the weak side corner, and Pharrell, a two-year-old kid, could have got through that damn screen. It was the worst screen I've ever seen in a late-game situation. And I've been part of some late-game situations, Pharrell. I've been really bad. That's really scarred me for life. But that screen was awful. So if you want to place blame, Cheryl Reeve, on the referees, yes, you could do that. But you recognize the number of plays that your team did not make. Remember, it was 60-58. Pharrell, they scored 2 points the last 5.5 minutes of the game. That does not get it done on the road.
So the Liberty are champs in a five-game, winner-take-all game that went to overtime last night at the Barclays Center. They got it done on their home floor. Let's talk about the NBA. The season starts tomorrow. Before we get into that, I want to get your reaction to a couple deals. Green got a deal, 3 years, $106 million in Houston. Suggs got a five-year, $150 million deal in Orlando. And Kispert got a four-year, $54 million deal with the Wizards. And when we heard about the Suggs deal and the Kispert deal, I almost fell over. Explain to me how either one of them deserved that money.
Wait.
Kispert, I didn't even remember who he was.
Corey Kispert got $54
million? 54.
Man, I'll tell you what, Pharrell.
Honestly, we
were born in the wrong generation.
You need to start having more kids. You need some sons.
I got a couple of daughters, and they do dance, and they do swimming, and they cost me too much damn money. That's why you see me on Sports Grid all the time. But when you talk about this, first things first, Jalen Green, that's what I think that was a 2+1 deal. It's a rare thing that they did, 2 years plus a one. for a team in Houston, for all that, I think it's going to be a lot better than people think. I actually like their win total over. I think Ime gets them in the playoffs. Remember, 6 p.m. deadline. We'll see if Şengün gets finished up on. Then you have 5 for 150 for Jalen Suggs. I mean, great defender.
Come on.
Pharrell. People were complaining about the shooting of the WNBA contest last night. Most of the old ladies will beat this guy in a three-point shootout. I'm not playing. But here's the other thing people need to realize. Pharrell, Texas, Florida, no state income tax. So that money goes even further if they stay with those franchises. And then lastly, with Corey Kispert, I mean, the Washington Wizards are a damn dumpster fire. They kept Kuzma. I don't know why. They drafted Sarr, and then he signed Valanciunas. So they have no idea what they're doing. Their win total, I think, Pharrell is tied with the Nets over under 19.5 wins. They go under because I think they want to capture the flag, the St. Cooper flag, or try to get the other kid who go number one. And that's Ace Bailey out of Rutgers.
Yeah, look, I think Kuzma, he can play for them. He's one of their best players. So I got no problem with Kuzma. He can actually get it done. Mm-hmm. Murphy got $112 million in New Orleans. And I'm hearing that Middleton will miss their opener. But this guy is like Kawhi Leonard. Neither one of them ever play.
My man Chris Middleton, he's made out of paper mache. By the way, they're going to get – and if the Bucks, they're getting rolled on Wednesday night by the Sixers.
So we'll break down the games. There's two games tomorrow night on the doubleheader opener and then a bunch of games on Wednesday. And we'll go through that with Coach Young coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're talking to Coach Young about basketball. It starts tomorrow night, if you can even believe it. The NBA is underway on Tuesday night, and what a doubleheader. The Knicks and Celtics at the Garden in Boston. Boston laying 5.5, and the Timberwolves and Lakers in la-la-la-la-la-la Lipstick City at Crypt. Minnesota laying 1.5. TNT double dip, 7:30, the Knicks and Celtics. You tell me what's going to happen in these games. I mean, the Knicks are loaded, but the Celtics don't lose, and they're the champs.
You know, I was thinking about this, and one of my favorite bets for tomorrow night, honestly, is the over in the game. I think it's 222.5. Fro, you could have two of the best offenses in the league, and the Knicks are going to be completely different with Cat, a.k.a., what do you call him, the Big Bodega? Big Bodega at the top of the key, bombing away from three. I think that this is going to be a really intriguing game. I think the game's going to go under. Everybody thinks it's going to be under. I think it goes over 222.5. I think there's going to be a ton of points, and I think it's going to be a really good game. Also, look at double-double for Cat.
The T-Wolves and Lakers, the nightcap, it's Minnesota -1.5, 219.5. By the way, I see that Celtics. You can get it at even 221 and a hook.
Yeah, I would take the over with that. Now, in regards to game number two, I firmly think that Anthony Edwards is going to be knocking on the door of possibly being a top 5-6 player in the NBA. So his points probably, I think, is at 26.5. Who on the Lakers is checking this kid?
No, like, one. Bronny.
Austin Reeves?
Bronny.
By the way, folks, are they hanging over under minutes for Bronny yet? Is that been posted by FanDuel? I don't know. Maybe we should take a look.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah, rookie of the year. Yeah. I almost cursed. I can't do that. But Anthony Edwards over 26.5 points. More importantly, I'm looking at this game. I'm like, why aren't we just taking Minnesota on the money line? I think this team's going to be an outstanding team. And I think they have guys all over that team that could do a lot of damage. I think they're going to be a problem. Give me Minnesota on the money line on the road.
All right, let's go to Wednesday. You already said that the Bucks are going to get killed in Philly. I'm guessing Paul George isn't playing in that game because of his knee.
No, he probably may not play in the game, but it don't matter. Glenn Doc Rivers. That's all I got to say. Glenn Doc Rivers. The guy messes up a ham sandwich if it only had ham. I'm going to take the Philadelphia 76ers on the money line. I think they get the job done. I think they get a big win open night. And I suspect we're going to be talking about drama in Milwaukee before this year is done. Because if they underachieve, there's a Greek freak named Giannis Antetokounmpo who I think could ask out by next summer.
Well, he already said he thinks if they don't win a title, he's getting traded. Do you think he just wants out of Milwaukee?
I mean, would you want to stay in Milwaukee? I mean, I don't know.
Want to go to Milwaukee, let alone
play there. They got good beer and bratwurst, but besides that, what they got?
I can get good beer and bratwurst anywhere.
Here you go. That's what I think about the Milwaukee Bucks. They're going to be the Milwaukee Sucks this year. I'll tell you that much. Under their win total this year.
All right. Nets and Hawks in Atlanta. Atlanta laying 7.5. Talk about teams that don't matter.
The Nets are simply put trying to capture the flag. That's all. Them and I think Washington have the lowest win totals for all at 19.5. That game is under. In regards to them getting win total, I think they're terrible. Give me Atlanta Hawks. They're a team in transition without DeJounte. It's Trey's team now. Trey's got to step up. Give me the Hawks minus the points.
All right. So, look, I got less and less time. I'm just going to talk about games that I think are decent. Suns, Clippers at the new joint in Inglewood. Phoenix laying 4.5. Grizzlies, Jazz in Salt Lake. Grizzlies laying 2.5. Zach Edey and company.
Oh, I like the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies are going to be one of the top teams. They win their division. And then the Suns minus 4.5 on the road. Kawhi's already out. That team's in trouble. They'll be under 35.5 wins this year, Pharrell.
Bulls at Pelicans. I'm so excited to see Lonzo playing ball. Do you think it'll last?
Yeah, so they could trade him. But you know what I like? Fly Pelican minus 7.5.
Minus 7.5. There you go. So there's tons of games this week as the NBA starts up. All season long, we'll be talking to Coach and breaking down all the hoops, pros, college, whatever it takes, because we go straight to the rack. And don't forget about his show, Betting Above the Rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football from Saturday. What a beating Georgia put on Texas at Memorial in Austin. I couldn't believe my eyes. Then again, it is Kirby and the Bulldogs. Oh, oh, oh.
It is Kirby and the Bulldogs. What a show by them in Austin. They built a 23-0 halftime lead over the Horns, and really that was that. The Horns did get it to 23-15. Late in the third, but then an ETN touchdown in the fourth put it out of reach. 30-15 was the final. Quinn Ewers, of course, started this game for Texas. Scott, he did not play well in the first half. Sark ends up going to Arch to finish the first half and then brought Ewers back out in the second half to put him in. Let's see if we can get Sark to explain some of that mess.
I felt Quinn was a little uneasy, and, you know, I just felt like giving him a chance to kind of step back, regroup, and I didn't know if we'd get a series or two with Arch, depending on how much time was on the remaining in the half on the clock. So we just told Quinn, we said, hey, we're going to go with Arch here, give you a chance to get into the locker room, let's regroup, and then come back out in the second half. And so that's what we did, and I felt like it was effective. I thought Quinn came out and played a much better second half and played well in the third quarter. Quinn's our starting quarterback. I appreciate the fact that we're fortunate enough to have a backup like Arch that can come into the game and provide a spark in some sense. But at the end of the day, you know, Quinn's our starter. And like I said, but, you know, I think we've got to do a better job around him. I think he would tell you he can play better, but we've got to coach better. Everybody's got to be better for our offensive football team to perform better.
Look, I think one of the problems for me is my guess would be knowing, you know, personalities and talent and competition. There is no doubt in my mind that Quinn Ewers has to look over his shoulder knowing that this iconic name is standing on the sideline and that when he plays, he's better than him. And the funny thing is that here's another coach that just thinks he's got all the answers and he's going to keep playing this kid who's not better than the kid standing on the sideline. Quinn Ewers' best days are over, but you're going to see what happens when he falls in that NFL draft like a brick. And Arch Manning will play at Texas next year, break every record, and he'll be drafted number one in the NFL. And his future is bright. The fact that he put that kid back in there after that shacky of a performance is all you need to know that he doesn't want to hurt the kid's psyche, knowing that the kid on the sideline is better than him. Everybody knows it. So does Sarkisian. Arch Manning should be the quarterback of the Texas Longhorns. He will rue the day that he keeps going back to this kid. He'll end up costing them in the end this season. They will win nothing because that's who he's playing. And if he would have played Arch Manning, I think they could have won the national championship. But far be it from me to question a genius like Steve Sarkisian. So honestly, like, I'm scared to death to question genius head coaches in college and pro football. There's so many of them. There's so many geniuses. That word is used so loosely now in sports because there's just so many brilliant geniuses out there. But I got to tell you, that kid has never been the same since Arch Manning was standing over his shoulder on the sideline. It drives him nuts. He'll never admit it to anybody because he's Quinn Ewers and he's a, you know, Texas boy, badass. He's done great things at Texas, but he already knows that he's not better than that kid. And it drives him nuts. It's the classic story of the,
yep,
the kid, the backup is better than the starter. It's time to make the move, and they just won't do it.
I don't disagree with you. And look, they now are going to have a bunch of games where they can pump him back up. Although look, I shouldn't really say that because now they're going to Vandy this week.
Have fun.
Vandy's played well. I mean, they've beaten Alabama. Like, that's really not the walk in the park that it used to be.
Ask Alabama.
Ask Alabama, indeed. Speaking of Alabama, they lost in Neyland to Tennessee, 24-17. Again, and look, that puts Alabama in a very tough spot. I was looking at the SEC standings just before. They've got two losses now. In conference because they lost that Vandy game.
But the committee's already put them in the 12-team playoff, so it doesn't matter if they lose four games.
I got to tell you.
They never drop when they lose. They're still one of the top-ranked teams in the country when they lose. Everyone else drops like a brick when they lose, except for Alabama and Texas.
This is I don't remember them being this low in a while. They're 15 now. That they maybe should be even lower than that. You're right. But even them being at 15, that's the lowest I remember them being in a while.
Indiana's ranked higher than Alabama.
There you go. You got that for this week. Now, they play Missouri this week at home, and Missouri 6-1 also. So that's a big game, too.
There's a lot of teams. More than Alabama. Alabama's already lost, too. If Missouri loses again, because they had the horrible loss, if they lose again, it kills them. They'll be dead because they're not putting a Missouri two-loss team in the playoff, but they'll put a two-loss Alabama team in.
But that's why Alabama's got no margin for error anymore. So now every week is really like, if they lose the third game, they're finished.
Beat them.
They are finished. They have Missouri this week, and they have LSU after that. And I think that they have a bye then. LSU then a bye. So there
LSU's
you go. So
the LSU into game, a playoff team, by the way.
Yes, and their last three games they're going to win. So this is the last 2 weeks to get a crack, a third loss for Alabama is Missouri and LSU, because they're not going to lose to Mercer, Oklahoma, or Auburn. Those three teams suck.
LSU's
so they'll get those
them.
Three wins. I hope that happens. That would be great. Indiana beat Nebraska 56-7. Absolute smash job by the Hoosiers in Bloomington. But we have a but. Indiana quarterback Curtis Rourke, who's been outstanding, will miss this week's game against Washington with the thumb injury. And I heard you were telling Gabe this before. It's the first time ever College Game Day is going to Bloomington. They're gonna last week they had the Fox Big Noon kickoff. I think they could still beat Washington without him, but I'm worried beyond that for Indiana.
I don't even know who the backup is.
Whoever the backup is, and off the top of my head, I don't know either. I have enough confidence in Cignetti that he'll have him because this guy.
That's great. That does nothing for me that the coach. If the coach believes in him, we all should too. It's simple. The backup is playing now. A kid has a broken thumb. The backup is playing. And I guarantee you, the backup is not doing what this other kid has been doing to get this team scoring 47 points or more a week. They put up 56 this week. They just ruined Nebraska's season. And now game day's there and he's not playing. And he's got a broken thumb. He's not playing next week either.
Tavion Jackson will be the quarterback. He went 7-for-8 with 91 yards and 2 touchdowns when he came in last week against Nebraska. So he moved the football and he scored some points. So we have that going for us.
Lamar Light is the quarterback now.
Notre Dame beat Georgia Tech 31-13, a cover for the Irish in Atlanta. And I know you are about to talk to Joe Z, the voice of the Canes. 52-45, Hurricanes stay unbeaten in Louisville on Saturday. Huge win for the Canes again as they continue to roll.
I mean, I just want to save it all for Joe Z.
Save it for Joe Z.
It was a great game. I watched the game. I was eating steak sandwiches. I had it all going. I had some limonadas going. I had a lot of
gotta
sugar
have that
in me. I was lit.
Clemson beat Virginia 48-31. Missouri did beat Auburn, and they barely covered. Army and Navy both were winners and both covered. How about Illinois beating Michigan? Michigan sucks, by the way.
Their season's over.
They have no quarterback. Their season's over. What a shame for that. Maryland beat USC.
USC's season's over. They need to get more money to Lincoln Riley.
Finished. Colorado crushed Arizona.
Cover.
Very surprising in Tucson. LSU beat Arkansas 34-10, no problem. And Iowa State got all they could handle from UCF in Ames on Saturday night, but they got it done. I have a couple other things I'll give you in leftovers after you talk to Joe Z.
Kansas State covered for us, too, in Morgantown.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, the legendary Joe Z is back on Coast to Coast. Joe Zagacki, the awesome voice of the Miami Hurricanes, my favorite play-by-play guy in all of football, along with Don Bailey and my old buddy Josh Darrow on the sidelines. They make a hell of a crew on QAM down in Miami. And Joe, you know I'm the biggest Canes fan in the world and have been a Canes fan for over 50 years. I have 5 decades of loving the Canes. I am wearing my Canes hoodie tonight, my Canes basketball hoodie to my league basketball game, and it upsets a lot of people when I roll in my Canes garb to games. But I have to tell you, I watched the game Saturday, and it is amazing to me a couple of things, and I want to start with this. Restrepo to me is such a badass. I cannot believe the X-Man, what he's doing with this quarterback. It's like, I think he leads the nation in targets and non-drops. This guy is glue. He's Lester Hayes. My man never drops a pass ever for a little guy. And when you're calling those games, you have to be amazed at the passes that he hauls in.
He, first of all, hello, Sky. I've been watching Restrepo since he was a sophomore in high school at St. Thomas High School. And then which is one of the top, you know, football factories down here. And then he transferred and went to Deerfield Beach, which is a tough high school, so that he could get to Miami early. But he worked so hard every day after practice. He and Cam Ward probably throw another 30 minutes when practice is over. So what you see in the games is not an accident. He's playing with great confidence. He catches everything. And then he looks like he took some kind of ballet classes in the offseason because he always has this little pirouette move to get away from defenders. And he's automatic. I don't know if he's going to make a great pro or not, but he's a hell of a college player and certainly having a great year for Miami. He's like three catches away from becoming the all-time leading receiver in the history of the University of Miami.
I mean, honestly, like what Berrios did was incredible. What Michael Irvin did was incredible. And Irvin is now a full-time cheerleader for the Canes on the sideline at every game. But Restrepo, 9 catches, a tutty, and over 101 yards. He is a freak. And speaking of freaks, do you believe that Cam Ward will be the number one quarterback taken in the NFL draft? And do you believe that he deserves, with all of his 4 tutty and 400-yard games, to be the Heisman Trophy winner?
Well, if the season was to end right now, I think he should be the Heisman Trophy winner. It's amazing to me. I'm listening to some of the national people, and they're talking about, oh, well, Miami could have lost this game, could have lost that game, if they didn't have Cam Ward. Well, hell, what would Kansas City be without Mahomes? That's the point, right? To have a great quarterback. And he has lived up to the hype. But again, he's another one that works really hard. And what I like about him is he holds everybody accountable. In the Cal game, he threw a pass to Isaiah Horton in the end zone. Heavenly throw that Horton dropped. And they went over to Horton on the sideline and said, you got to make that play. You've got to make that catch. And then the rest of the game, Horton didn't have any other drops. He had 9 receptions, which was a career high for him. So he holds people accountable. He works hard. He's a magician. I don't know how he comes up with some of the plays that he comes up with. Now, I will say this. At the NFL level, he probably is not going to get away with some of the things that he can do in college. But in the college level, he's so confident, and he's a little bit defiant. You know, he threw the interception against Cal, and he said, well, that's me. That's how I play. So I believe we've got to take all the good that he gives Miami with a little bit of the bad, really be the number one quarterback taken in the NFL draft. Those guys, by the end of the season, they're going to analyze him upside down this way and that way, probably talk themselves out of taking him. But what I know about Cam Ward right now is he's a winner. So I'm wanting him on my team.
Yeah, listen, they were 9 of 15 on third down, and they had 2 fourth downs and converted both of them. I watch every Miami Cane game, no matter what. And I got to tell you, you were doing, and I listened to you on the radio call because I can get it. And you were doing the Cal game in Berkeley. And you said after the game, and I've had open heart surgery, so I know what it's like to have my heart explode. You said, my heart exploded and both of my valves blew up my heart and a guy saved my life. Surgeon, my wife wanted to sleep with him. He was really good looking. He was Greek. But you said that night that you thought you were going to have a heart attack calling the game because you said that your heart was absolutely out of control, fluttering, and you were losing your mind.
Yeah, I think my heart did a flawless swan dive in that Cal game. They're down 35-10, and it did look bleak. Now, I do have to say this. I kept looking at the clock, and I've been around a while with University of Miami teams, and I've always remembered the teams we've had with, you know, Gary Stevens when he was the offensive coordinator, and Miami always seemed to find a way to come from behind when they had teams that were talented and teams that had a lot of confidence. And I feel the same way about this one. And I thought when they hit the scored the touchdown against Cal and then connected on the 2-point conversion, I thought they had a chance. I thought they could get a couple of stops. They had a chance. I kept looking at the scoreboard, and I think I did say, if Miami's going to score, they got to score now to win this game, to get them one more possession. That was with about 3 minutes to go, and they did score right around the 3-minute mark. And then Wesley Bissaint knocked the hell out of their quarterback. Everybody thought that was targeting. And, you know, I just – sometimes when you call a game, you can see a play coming into your vision. And I saw that one all the way. And I knew it was going to be a car crash, but I did not think it was targeting.
So let me ask you real quick. I got 25 seconds. They play Florida State this week. Then it's Duke at home, Miami at Georgia Tech, Miami at home against Wake, and Miami at Cuse. Do they run the tables?
I think they do. And I think their toughest games will be the road games, Georgia Tech and Syracuse. This game against Florida State can't look past them, but Florida State's scoring 15 points a game and Miami scoring nearly 50.
Joe, make sure you say hi to Don and Josh for me. You're the absolute best. I love you. Go Canes.
Thanks, Pharrell.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so everybody loves leftovers. In fact, I'm having some leftovers for dinner tonight.
That's always good. You get the little Monday night leftover action in, which is fun. Before I give you the new top 25 for this week, Cincinnati beat Arizona State this week 24-14. Now, listen, not the biggest game on the card. There wasn't a lot going on there. But Arizona State has a problem, Scotty. They don't have a kicker. And let's just say head coach Kenny Dillingham, he's willing to look anywhere. If you go to the school right now, you got to call coach because he's willing to give you a shot.
You can be aggressive, but just because you convert doesn't guarantee that you make it one possession. So you would hope that you can make, you know, a kick, one of those, but our kicking game's atrocious. So if you can kick and you're at Arizona State, email me, right? We're going to have kicking tryouts on Monday. So bring it on, kicking tryouts Monday. Let's go.
Yeah,
seriously. Yeah, I'm dead serious. We're going to put it out on our social. We're going to have a kicking tryout on Monday. We got to find somebody who can make a field goal.
That is fantastic.
Your boy Kenny, Kenny Dillingham. So if you're out there at Arizona State, make sure you get a hold of coach. Here is the top 25 for this week, of course. A new number one with Texas losing, and that is the Oregon Ducks, the wow. number one team in the land. It's their turn. Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, and Texas round out the top five. Notre Dame 12, Indiana 13. Boise's up to 17. Army and Navy still there at 23 and 24, and Vandy is in at number 25.
So Texas gets stomped, and I know they lost to Georgia, but they were favored, yeah. and they got stomped. They got humiliated, and yet Miami wins on the road at Louisville and scores 52 points, and they don't move into the five. Texas should be number six. You do not deserve to be in the top five when you get rocked at home. They got rocked. They do not deserve to be number five. And their quarterback has lost all his confidence because that kid's standing on the sideline. Miami should be number five, and it really upsets me how they just keep favoring Texas and Alabama and Georgia and Oregon and Penn State and Ohio State. It's always the same thing with these AP people, honestly. What do you mean?
Just
you
remember. People. They mean nothing. They it is the crack crab and lobster committee who's going to get together in a few weeks, and they will decide. Not these people. These people are not the ones who are going to decide the 12 teams that get into the college football playoff. Only one game in the NHL tonight. That's because tomorrow night is that night they last year. Everybody's playing in those staggered 15-minute starts. So from 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock East, there's a game starting every 15 minutes. It's going to be that on-the-fly thing all over the place. But tonight, Tampa and the Leafs do have to play in Toronto. Minus 146 for the Leafs, 6.5 the total.
I mean, aren't they about the same team? Like, I'm on, I guess, the Leafs at home. Auston Matthews has started scoring, so give me the Leafs.
Also, JT Poston, the postman, always rings twice. Wins the Shriners Children's Open out at TPC Summerlin. Congratulations to JT. Nice job.
On the postman?
Did not have the postman this week. Did not have him. Can't have him any week. We're in Japan this week at the Zozo, which is very exciting that I can't wait for.
So Wednesday
and finally
golf
for me.
Wednesday golf is still in motion, and then Thursday, Friday, the Cape Cod Classic.
I think that this is the last week with like an event for a few weeks. I think that they take a break after this week, but they're in Japan, which means they tee off Wednesday night at like 11 o'clock East. So I love the Zozo.
But then the minute it starts up again, you're going to start having golf Wednesdays again.
Whenever there is an event, there's a golf Wednesday. If they're playing, we're giving picks. That's how it always rolls.
Money on your golf bets. That's the only reason.
So we will be together for the Zozo this week. All the crew on Wednesday for the Japan event.
Great.
Diamond Sports Groups rebrand their regional sports networks from Bally's to FanDuel in a new deal. So all those failing RSNs will now be called that, Scotty. So there you go.
There you go. It's a big deal for FanDuel, no doubt about it. And certainly the Diamond Sports Group that has screwed everything up and went broke doing it. Ferrella finished. A New York drug peddler had enough fentanyl in his home to kill every man, woman, and child on Long Island. That includes you, Carver High. So they need to put this guy away for a long time. A woman falls to her death on a luxury cruise ship sailing in the Atlantic. I always love stories of people going overboard on the cruise ships. And then I watch the Shaq commercials where he talks about how great it is to go on a cruise. I went on a cruise with horrible weather. It was the worst experience of my life. GTD is next. Go to PharrellOnABench.com. A lot of exciting things happening there. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 on Tuesday.